Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Tamboukos.
Welcome, everybody, to the KP Podcast. This is your host, Pete, with your co-host, Keith. We're coming to you from the forum here at the in the KP Studios. So, Keith, what do we got today?
We got a lot of stuff on the bill today, I guess, if you will, to discuss and go over. First things first, would like to remind everybody, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, leave us a review. We really appreciate those. That helps us get our podcast out there for everybody. More listeners, more people can view that and enjoy that. So please do that if you get a chance. And always, as we go through these podcasts, send your questions to questions@kpeliteaz.com. We love to tackle them. We got a live email stream right now as well. So if you send your questions in, we'll be able to get some stuff out to you next podcast. So super excited about that. But what I'm looking at right now, Pete, is a little bit of a change in the recent weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had the end of the eviction moratorium here at the end of June for Arizona, I should say. And then, we had the Supreme Court ruling that ended it for anyone else in the rest of the country here at the end of July. So it's going to be interesting to see here over the next couple of months, you know, how this pans out. It's been, you know, what, a year and a half or so, somewhere in there that we've had this moratorium on there.
It was long awaited too by a lot of people. Like, I think the number one thing I heard when people ask, well, we're due a crash, aren't we? We're due a crash. It was always coming up where they would say, well, all these people that didn't get evicted and they're not paying their mortgage, they're not paying their rent, like all this stuff's going to hit the fan and everybody's going to go explode. And so Pete, tell me, a side note, not our main topic today, everybody, but side note, why is Arizona not or should not be as worried?
Yeah, Arizona, as other places? It doesn't seem like it's going to be a big effect for us here in Arizona. We've got a much smaller number of those delinquent renters than a lot of the other metro areas did, you know, first of all. So we've got a smaller number to deal with. And second of all, our inventory is still ridiculously low. Yeah. I mean, just historically low. Yeah, we've creeped up a couple of points here in the last few months. But I mean, you know, like we've said before, even a tripling of inventory from here would probably do us good. And we're not going to see anything like that from this moratorium. Not even anything even remotely close. It's going to be a drop in the bucket
for us. And it's funny you say that, because that was my prediction. My bold prediction was that those listings would stay under 5,000 for the entire year.
How'd that work out?
It didn't work out great. We creeped up over 5,000. We're touching the edge of 6, but even then, like, we're still talking, we're at half what inventory was from last year.
And what's a normal balance market, roughly?
20 to 30,000, 25,000 or so active listings.
So we're almost there.
Yeah, we're about a fifth of the way there.
Yeah, another 20,000 active listings and we'll be there.
So we had it's crazy because you can say, well, we had a 25% increase in listings since the first quarter. So you could technically say that. However,
now that is a good point though. And I know we're getting sidetracked here, but just before we move on, that's a good point with these numbers and the headlines, folks. Be careful with the headlines out there, because you'll see stuff like, oh, you know, we had a double in foreclosures in so-and-so city, pick, you know, Queen Creek or whatever. And in reality,
2 to 4.
That's exactly it. Yes, it doubled from 2 to 4. You know what I mean? So
we're not talking 1,000 to 2,000. We're not talking massive numbers, you know, like, you just got to be careful with those numbers. So that brings us to our topic today. Super excited about that. I know last time we got to meet with John and we got to talk about that expansion development and what that team looks like. So today we're going to touch a little bit on an outside factor of that. And it's really, what does it mean to leverage a team to fast track your business? Is this the best route to go? And this, mainly our audience we're talking to is brand new agents coming in. We're also talking to agents that maybe are experienced trying to ramp up their business to new heights, and or part-time agents maybe trying to make that shift, that move. So if you're an agent, you're doing your thing, you're doing good, maybe this doesn't necessarily pertain to you unless you're wanting to take your business another level.
Yeah. I would say to anybody that's trying to, like we talk about on this, you know, fast track or turbo boost that business. Yeah. How do I get to the next level? How do I double my business? How do I triple my business from where I am now? Or like you said, any of these new folks, how do I get this thing started? Mm-hmm. You know? And so I think one of the most important things is, you know, once you've talked about kind of, you know, what this might potentially do. So who is this not for before we get into this? You know, if they're looking to potentially join a team and you're talking about, hey, you know, this could fast track your business, turbo boost your business. So who might not this might not be a good fit for?
Before we jump into that exact answer, I would like to prep everybody and say, throw caution to the wind. If you come across a team leader and they come out and say, my team is for every single person. Yeah. It's the best team out there. Every agent should be on a team. Every agent should be on my team. I'm here to stand and tell you, as a team owner, that is not the case. There are perfect fits, and there are also people that don't fit into that concept or that role. So mm-hmm. a team is not for everybody. It doesn't work for everyone. When you're running a team, you're looking for the people that want to say yes to that and believe in what it provides. It's not for everybody.
Right. And what do we always say? We always tell all of our agents, and it's the same thing when our agents are looking for clients, and when we're looking for the agents that we're going to bring on our team, we're not trying to turn no's into yeses.
Yep.
There are a lot of people out there looking for whatever you have. They're looking for what our team has. If you're an agent out there, you got clients looking for what you offer and what you can bring. So don't try to turn any no's into yes. So you just go find your people. There's so many people. Yeah, there's so many people looking for the help that you've got.
So that being said, somebody that is not the perfect fit for a team, there are pretty much two sides of that spectrum, if you will. But the main criteria for that is if you're an agent and you feel comfortable doing, let's say, 2 to 7, 8 transactions a year. Like you want to be in that average of 6 deals a year, 8 deals a year. You don't want to work super hard. You just want to make ends meet, make it good, but have tons of free time, have tons of, you know, more flexibility. You're not going to get crazy busy because you're only doing one deal every other month. So it's not like you're getting consumed for your time. This would probably also fall into the part-time agent that wants to stay part-time. Yeah. Like, I think that's the difference. Because in that sense, yes, you can get a general support from your broker as you get a file here and there. But the whole point of a team is to help ramp people up, to help people be extremely successful, build their business, grow something beyond belief, not just make ends meet. And I think that's important because at that point, financially, it doesn't make sense to pay a team a split if you're only going to do 5 to 6 deals a year and that's where you want to stay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
If you're not taking advantage of everything that's there. So it's like you said, you know, you're looking for people that want to make money, that want to grow their business, that want to help more people, that want more deals. So if that's where you're at and you're trying to do more and you're trying to ramp this business and fast track it, that's who, you know, would be a good fit. That's who would fit in here. And, you know, part of to start diving into what that means is, you know, one of the things we always say, and remember we used to talk in front of these real estate schools and we would always tell people, hey, listen, whether it's our team or, you know, another team or mentors or somewhere or something, don't reinvent the wheel. You know, there are systems, there are processes, you know, real estate's been around and in the real estate industry for a very long time. There are a lot of people that are successful. They're doing it differently. Now, by the same token, there's a lot of people that talk a lot mm-hmm. and say they're very successful that are not. And you want to be careful. So what I always say is look for someone that has already done what you want to do or a team where you're seeing these agents, for example, if it's the team where you're seeing the agents have success and you're seeing them be where you want to be. And so we say the proof is in the pudding. And, you know, you want to see that somebody's not just telling you, oh, this is how good it's going to be. You can see it. You can go talk to these other agents that are on the team. You can go experience what it's like. And so you want to find something like that. What is it that you're trying to do? Where are you trying to grow your business? And then find somebody, a team that can help you get there or somebody that's already done it.
Yeah. And I think beyond that as well, as you look for a team or you look for those systems, go directly to the leader. That's the head of the head of the entire organization. Look at their character. If they don't have the character that falls in line with what you want to be, what you want to do, how you want to do business, don't join that team. And I think that's so essential because you're going to leave in 3 months. Like it's, you're going to start to see the character of that leader flow down to everybody else that's in the business. So if your character doesn't line up, your morality doesn't line up, your values, whatever, if that doesn't line up, then don't join that type of a team because it will affect you and you'll be moving in 3 months. That's my number one thing that I always tell people. And you can find those things out by just asking other agents that are producing and doing well on that team. Yeah. They'll know. They've been there a while. If they're having success, then you can follow that them in the exact same footsteps in your business.
Yep. So let's go and then more in. So let's say you've done that. You know, you've investigated, you've checked some of these out. Think, man, this is the awesome team. I love the culture over here. Got a lot of agents, very successful on there, talking to them. This seems like the one. Okay. So now I'm here. And, you know, what is it that this team is going to provide for me that's going to help me fast track this business? It's going to help me, you know, double and triple or get myself started. So, you know, an analogy I would use here is if you're trying to learn how to bake, let's say, and I'm making this up as I go, so hopefully it makes sense. If you're trying to learn how to bake a cake, okay. Is it best to just go in the kitchen and go, well, I don't know, there's some flour in these cakes. I seen on TV they use some eggs or something and start whipping some stuff together. And then, you know, you're at the store and you're like, well, this gadget over here says that it's going to give me the fluffiest cakes ever, yeah. You know? So I got to pick that up for sure. And then you're at home and you're trying to make this all work and you're doing trial and error. And, you know, a month into this thing, you're like, man, I cannot figure this out. Or wouldn't it make more sense to go to a baker that's experienced, that's world-class in making this, who can give you the recipe and the techniques and show you exactly how it is that they make these cakes and what the steps are that you need to do. You can replicate them. You can see exactly, you know, what they're doing and what's working and you can see it in action. And the other part, like we talked about, is they can tell you, hey, that weird shiny object you saw there at the store, you don't need that. You don't need that. Oh, or yeah, you know, you should use that one because we all know in real estate, what do we call it? Especially with new agents, a lot of shiny objects. Everyone's got a marketing thing. That's the next greatest thing in the world that they're trying to pitch to you.
What blows my mind is if you look in our industry as a whole, name one professional athlete that doesn't have a coach in some regard. There's not one. It doesn't happen. Even individual sports, they usually have more coaches. They usually have like seven coaches supporting. You go to a professional boxer, if you look in the side of the ring, they got like nine people over there telling them different things, tracking all their stuff. Yeah. You have to have a coach. You have to have a mentor, no matter how good you are at what you do or whatever. So why would real estate be any different? Every doctor that comes in the industry, how much schooling do they have to go through? Do they have people ahead of them for years before they start doing it on their own? It's every industry. So what would make real estate any different than that?
And not only that, Keith, I would argue that the more successful that people get in whatever field, the more coaches they have. Yeah. So you think about this, you're talking about top level CEOs, entrepreneurs, athletes, whatever it is, they've got multiple coaches. Like, let's look at athletes, for example.
Look at LeBron James. How many people do you think work on LeBron James?
Exactly. He's got somebody that's prepping his food. He's got somebody that's helping him work out. He's got multiple people helping him with his actual basketball game. He's got, you know, somebody else helping him manage things at home. He's got doctors that are monitoring the things in there. Like, so as you go, and you see the same thing with, like we say, successful business people, they'll have coaches, multiple coaches working on them in different aspects as they're trying to improve as a person, as a leader in their in their specific industry, whatever it is, and they're starting to get multiple. But that's a very good point. A lot of times we see new people come into this industry, and what do they do?
I'm going to fail for it. I don't need anybody.
I don't want to pay anybody. I don't want to do anything. Yeah, I'll figure it out. And you're just like, okay, but you know, 90 days later, 6 months later, you're still sitting there trying to figure out. And my point, why? Why are you making this harder than it needs to be?
How long do you need to fail before you put your hand up and say, hey, I need some help? Like, that's the question you have to ask yourself. How long do you want to fail at something before you finally let go of your ego a little bit and say, hey, I need some help. Right. Let me find someone better than me at this. Because I did that. I would not be in the spot that I'm in now in our business if I wouldn't have put my hand up and said, I want help right from the start.
Oh, you're welcome, dude, for all that.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. But in that regards, so let's take you to the next set. So let's say you get that point across. You're like, okay, Keith and Pete, you got it. You're right. I need a mentor. I need a team leader. I need a system. I need people better than myself to start. And we're right. But you follow that. Now what? you also have to take advantage of the things you're put in place. So go back to your baker analogy again. Okay. Let's say every day of the week you go into the bakery and you put one ingredient in the bowl and you go home for the day. And then you come back tomorrow and you put another ingredient into the bowl. So you even have, you have the recipe. You got the coaching, the training, you got all that stuff. People are telling you how to do it, how to knead the dough. But each day you're only putting one ingredient into the bowl each day.
Well,
how long does it take you to bake that same dang cake?
I figure I'll bake it eventually, dude.
It'll eventually get good. It's the same concept with a team. Just because you're finally on a team, if you're not taking advantage of the tools, the systems, the training, and putting in the time, it's not going to matter if you're on a team or by yourself. You might as well be on yourself or be by yourself. Like, there's no point in being a team or being a part of a team if you're not even going to take advantage of the systems and tools. What that means is you got to get into the office every day. You got to grind. You got to struggle. You got to learn. You got to build your business. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always have to be that way. That's the other thing I tell everybody. It's only hard for the first 6 months at best, maybe a year if you really are pushing to train and grow. After that, everything else loosens up. I always tell everybody the exact same thing. It only takes about 3 to 6 months of hard, everyday, 9 to 5 type training to be one of the best agents in the industry. Not right. Just average. We're talking 6 months of training could help you become one of the best out there.
That's the good news is for everybody listening out there, bar set, unfortunately, pretty low in this
very
industry.
Very low.
Yeah, the competition is just, you know, you don't have to be that much better. It's sad to say, and I wish it wasn't like that, but you know, like you said, it doesn't take a whole lot to be in that top, you know, 5%. And I think that 6 month mark is an important thing that we've noticed throughout the years. That 6 month part, we noticed that shift. And so like Heath said, you know, that's kind of where your resistance is. If you can make it past that, things will start to roll and things will start to get easier. And you're constantly, you know, improving from there. It's not to say 6 months in, you got this figured out, but like you said, it'll start to get easier and things start, the snowball effect takes into play at that point, and you're going forward from there. So, you know, I think when you're talking about it, it is important, like he said, you're coming in, you're plugging in, as we like to say, mm-hmm. and you're taking advantage of these things. And now you've got a culture, and that's important. It's culture and the support and people around you. You've got systems that you can take advantage of and use that this team is providing, and processes that are in place that are proven, that you're not starting from scratch. They've tried a lot of things. They're telling you this is the way that works. And my suggestion is, look, everybody's not exactly the same, but especially when you're trying to figure it out, go with the one that works. You know, a year later, you want to go, hey, I want to tweak this system and do whatever. That's fine, but get your system going first. If you want to tell that baker that you got an idea of how to tweak his cake, well, learn how to make the cake first. You know what I'm saying? Like, follow his directions first, start making those, and then eventually you can start making those tweaks. But these systems, these processes, they're all in place. You know, there's going to be the training, the coaching, the accountability, that's important. You know, you want to have this team help you, and they're going to help you put this game plan together. Okay, what is your specific business plan? What is your specific game plan? What are these actions you're going to be taking? Mm-hmm. What's the plan you're going to be doing? So you're not coming in every day and going, well, what am I supposed to do? I see other people doing things.
I see this list of recipe and ingredients, but am I supposed to put them together?
Right. Looks like people are doing things, but what am I supposed to do?
I'm just going to watch.
All right. It's important that you know, and you go, okay, well, this is my plan, and I've got definite plans of action, and I've got action steps. And that word action is very important, because what's another thing we see? Getting ready to get ready, right? Yep. Hey, I'm still learning. I'm still training. I still got to figure this out. Just break some eggs. If we're going to start breaking those eggs, you'll figure it out.
And so this brings me to, I think, one of the most valuable assets of a team that doesn't have a tangible value. You can't see it, okay? And I think it only is seen by people that really understand what it means to run a business and to be in a field you don't know how to do at the highest level. And it's stuff that protects you from things that you are unaware of. And so what I like to, I'm going to let Pete take it on from here, is he's got a great analogy of when you used to be a firefighter and what a team looks like. Because if you're, let's use that example. If you're a brand new firefighter and you're getting out there, there's things you don't see coming down the path. And when you're a real estate agent and a brand new agent in the industry, you're going to run into stuff that you don't know is there.
Right.
And you need somebody way smarter than you, way more experienced to protect you from an intangible amount of money that you don't even know. Like, that's the thing. They don't put any quantitative money on that, because you don't know how bad it is until it happens to you, right?
You don't know what you don't know.
So tell us a little bit about this analogy that I think will help people understand.
Yeah. So for those of you that don't know, in my previous life there as a firefighter, so one of the analogies that I like to explain with the team is that, you know, on a fire truck, everybody's got their own role. So, you know, typically we'll have four people on a fire engine. You know, we've got the captain up there. We've got the engineer who's driving, two firefighters in the back. One's an EMT, one's a paramedic. So I always say, let's imagine we pull up on a car accident scene. You know, we've got some folks that are injured out there. Well, everybody's got a job to do, and it's important that everybody does their job and sticks to their job. Otherwise, we can have catastrophic failure. And in the case of, you know, a fire department and an emergency call like that, people's lives are in jeopardy. Yep. So, you know, to kind of work through that, what I mean is, you know, we get on off the truck, we've got, you know, say two cars that you got an accident, you've got people that are injured. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do so that ultimately we can have an excellent outcome. So a paramedic's going to get out and he's immediately going to go down and assist those patients. The second firefighter in the back, the EMT, is going to go out and help him. So he's going to be bringing, you know, things that he needs. He's going to be, you know, helping, you know, stabilize people or whatever he's doing while the medic's doing his job. The engineer is going to be out there stabilizing the vehicles, because while they're working on the patients, what if one of those cars starts to roll and this guy who's unconscious all of a sudden got rolled over by the car because no one was paying attention to it. And so he's got his job and he's monitoring traffic and blocking that off so that he's making sure that's safe. And then you got the captain who's watching the whole thing, because he's watching, did we miss somebody? Did somebody get ejected out of the car onto the side of the road that we didn't even see? Is there something else going on somewhere? Let me look at this whole scene. Is everything getting taken care of? Is there stuff we're missing? And so, like you said, a lot of times it's everybody thinks, well, let's all rush in and help. Well, if we do that, then no one's paying attention to the other things that are happening, which could really hurt you. So in real estate, it's the same thing. Everybody's got their job. And when you've got a team that's working well, you've got this whole support staff that's working not only behind the scenes, but people that are training and working with you to say, okay, these are all the things that maybe you didn't even think about. Yep. So making sure that is all your paperwork getting taken care of on the back, or all the appointments and deadlines being hit while being met, I should say, while you're out, you know, communicating with your client and negotiating the deals, because that's your portion of it. And so it all kind of fits together, you know, like a well-oiled machine, if you will.
If you're an individual agent coming through this industry, you got to do all those jobs at once. Mm-hmm. And as a brand new agent or a less experienced agent or someone that doesn't have that type of skill set to take you to the next level, how are you supposed to do all those jobs at a highest level? It's tough. It's hard. Tough. And so that's why we say, like, that's one of the unseen valuable assets of a team, is you have everyone invested in your well-being, protecting you. Team leaders looking out for you. That he's the captain. He's helping protect your life, your business, your livelihood, whatever that is. So think about those things as you're starting to build on it. You need to find a team that has a strong support system involved in that. And I think that's where I'm getting to, is you don't want just a team that's got one individual looking out for you. You want to find a team that's got all the parts and systems and tools to protect your business so that you have the highest level of success. Not all teams are created equal in this industry. By no means. It is important. Interview 2, 3, 4, 5. Go look at them. Go see which ones are different and why, and evaluate those outcomes. Don't just hire with the first team you meet, including us. I tell people all the time when they come and interview for us, I was like, no, I want you to go interview 2 to 3. Not because I want to have competition. That's not the point. I want you to see that we're so much better than the competition. And that's my mindset. You'll appreciate what we do at a higher level if you know what you get with a team like ours. And there are plenty of teams like ours out there that are great teams and have great leadership. So it's important to find that great support system and understand the value behind that.
And I would say one of the other important things that kind of ties on to that is the other people there, the other agents, are they having success? And as we've got up here in the forum, iron sharpens iron. Are you working alongside, collaborating with, and working with people that are having the success that you're trying to get? Because if we go back to that sports analogy, how is, you know, Steph Curry or LeBron James going to get better unless he's practicing against and playing with the very best people that he can find? And so, you know, what do we always say? It's like, if you're around people that are doing more than you, that have more skills, that are having that more success, you will automatically as long as, I shouldn't say automatic, as long as you're putting in the time and the effort and you're trying, you're going to get pulled up to that level, because you're now, you know, around this and you're seeing the, what it takes and what the actions are and what the habits are of these people. And you're going to be working with them alongside of them and doing those same things.
A lot of people say the same exact analogy is you're going to get, or you're going to become like the five closest people you have around yourself. It's the same thing in business. You're going to make the same amount of money as the five people you have closest to you. So if you surround yourself with people that are in dead-end jobs or not working or whatever, guess how much money you're probably going to make, because your actions are going to replicate what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But you go surround yourself with millionaires and people growing their business and are investing and they're building on something. Guess what actions you're going to start doing? You're going to replicate what they're doing, and you're going to start making the type of money that they're making. So that's so, so key. Now, to take it into the cost side of things, everybody, I think the number one reaction people have is, oh man, I don't want to join a team because they take money, they take a split, they take a part of my transaction, or whatever the case is, right? First things first, 100% of nothing is still nothing. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that all the time. But take that aside. Let's say you are going to be able to get some deals. Let's say you are going to put some business together and you're going to make money. So there is a sense in the back of your mind saying, okay, I can make 100% myself, and I have to pay a team split.
Right.
The thing that people don't look at is all the cost and time associated with not having that team. So that split that the team's taking is consuming a lot of the time that you would normally have to do yourself or pay yourself or do. And the best part about that is those fees, if you will, those transaction costs, they're happening at the end of a transaction when you're guaranteed to make money with no overhead up front.
Right.
Go start a business and go to a bank and say, hey, I need a loan, okay, to do everything I want to do, but I don't want to make any payments until my business is successful.
Till I get paid.
I don't, I'm never going to pay you back. Nope, not going to happen until I get paid. And even then, when I get paid, it's not payments on your terms. It's only a small percentage of what I'm making. So I still have a very profitable income and a profitable business. So I want no risk. I want you to take 100% risk. And I want to grow a massive company and a business that could make me hundreds of thousands of dollars a year with zero overhead or risk.
Yeah. And you know, and like you said, if we're just talking the straight dollars, like we say, when you're on that team, if you're on the right team, you should be making more money than if you are on your own, right? Because you're doing more business, you've got more time, however you want to equate it's all valuable. And so the point is, if you're not able to do more, you know, and make more by being on the team, then yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But if you've got a successful team where you see, hey, there's 50 other people here that are making, you know, they're successful and they're making it well into the six figures, you clearly have a proven system. So, mm-hmm. you know, if you can plug in, you can do that, as opposed to you trying to do it on your own and hoping, well, what's it going to cost me, take me to potentially get there? If I ever get there, how long will that take me?
Yeah.
And I may never get there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the other things like we like to point out too is get your business going and learn and do these things. And then, you know, eventually down the road, you know, you can figure out later, once you've got things up and going, you know, hey, what does this look like? And do I love this? Do I want to stay here? Do I want to try something different? But man, if you haven't figured it out and your business isn't running like a well-oiled machine yet, you know, get there first. Yeah. And that's why don't put the cart before the horse a lot of times.
And we encourage a lot. If you want to start your own team, be my guest. Like it's great opportunity. You can build something bigger than your own, and you can impact a lot of people's lives. Pete and I, we did it. There was a lot of struggles along the way, but it's worth it at the end of the day when you get to that point where you're helping a lot of people. But I would also say with that, that's not made for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that needs even a higher level of a coach and a mentor to take you there, because the amount of teams that succeed and fail in this industry are grand. Like there's a lot that fail and very few that succeed. So that's why I say your best chance of starting a team or building a big business or doing something like that would be to start on a team. Learn everything of what a team needs and does and works on and builds, and then continue to educate yourself with a mentor as you make that transition. But by all means, if you want to do that, go ahead.
So if I get this right, you're saying if I want to open up my own bakery, making my own cakes, it probably best for me to go train under a baker that's already making these cakes and already has his own bakery, so that I can see how the cakes are made, if you will.
No, I think you should open up shop, never have made a cake before, and just hope for the best.
Let's go.
Yeah. Remember salt. I'm going to tell you guys a hint. Remember some salt. Okay. No, but like that's the concept that we see in this industry. So if you guys take anything out of today, take one thing more than anything. You can always be better at what you do, no matter who you are, how good you are, no matter where you're at in your business. You can always grow. You can always improve. The best in the world still find ways to improve every single year by surrounding themselves with other people. I'm not too high of myself to think that I can't grow and build every single day on what I'm working on. And so take that food for thought and grow your business, grow your systems, grow your tools by surrounding yourself with a team or other individuals, a mentor, a coach to help you get there, take you to that next level, and really break down everything that those teams have to offer. Put them up against each other. Find the right system that works for you with good character leadership, but be a part of something. So at the end of the day, guys, we appreciate everything you guys are doing. Continue to follow us. Again, leave us reviews. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, all our social media platforms. We appreciate all the support. Please give us a 5-star review if you can and continue to build our business so that we can help impact more people's lives and hopefully help more and more people grow their real estate business.
Yep. So appreciate you guys today. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.